Well, if you didn't, you've thought of it, I'm sure. I ran away from home a few times, but one in particular sticks out in my mind. Now, this is going to sound silly. One of my siblings had bought a record album and wanted to sell it. Now, records came before 8-tracks, but before CDs. Most of my siblings were home, so it must have been during the summer holidays. I was probably 7 or 8. So I marched around the room with the record in my hands to see if there was an interested buyer. But for some reason, the record was taken out of my hands and given to my brother, who was 11 months older than I am. I was instantly hurt at being replaced, and I ran out of the house and literally ran away. I was gone for hours, at times sitting in a tree, so mad of the injustice that had fallen upon me at such a young age. No matter how many hours went by, no one came looking for me. Didn't anybody care about my hurt feelings or even worry about my disappearance? It was getting late. I had chores to do, animals to feed, so I went home. So I was hurt over a record that was not even mine. Although I was probably gone 5 or 6 hours, nobody missed me. This story is so significant that if you offered any of my 5 siblings $1,000 and asked them to tell you this story from their vantage point, they would not be able to because they don't even remember it. I was so upset with the people who were closest to me and who I loved. I can't even tell you what the music group was that the record was from. But I was willing to break relationship over it. It's so easy to allow little things to sneak into our hearts that can eventually separate us from God and from others. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would come in a fresh way this morning and move upon our hearts and minds. We want you to fill us from head to toe with the power of the Holy Spirit. We desperately need everything that you want to pour into us. Heal us of our wounds, our hurts, and disappointments that have accumulated in our souls. In the name of Jesus, amen. My text today is going to come out of Joel chapter 2, 1 to 32, but also Joel chapter 1 that Ernie doesn't know anything about. So he's going to do the best he can to follow me. Have you ever gotten off track? This happens to us sometimes. When I rolled 2 cars in 1 year, I left the road both times. When my oldest sister broke her wrist a couple years ago, she fell on ice. It was really slippery. And then there are times when we fall out of relationship with people who have been very important to us, close to us. In a blink of an eye, it disappears. Sometimes there's clues or indicators. Other times, we're just swimming in our thoughts, not sure what just happened. But also going forward. How do we get in this place of no return? Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is celebrated 7 Sundays after Easter Resurrection Sunday. In the book of Joel from the Old Testament, he's going to help us understand the day of Pentecost. In our passage, the minor prophet Joel reveals how the people of God have jilted God, Judah. They've gone out and run after false gods. In Joel chapter 1, swarms of locusts overwhelm the entire nation. It says in Joel 1:4, what the cutting locust left, the swarming locust had eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. What the hopping locust left, the destroying locust had eaten. Did anybody know there are that many locusts? These are some hungry critters. In 1915, a devastating plague of locusts covered what is modern-day Syria and Israel. The first swarms came in March in clouds so thick they blocked out the sun. The female locust immediately began to lay eggs 100 at a time. Witnesses say that in 1 square yard, there were as many as 65 to 75,000 eggs. In a few weeks, they hatched, and the young locusts resembled large ants. They couldn't fly yet, so they got by hopping. They marched along 400 to 600 feet a day, devouring every speck of vegetation along the way. Keep in mind in our text today that Judah is an agricultural society. Without produce, there was nothing to trade or barter with, and there was nothing to eat. This is the first half of the context the nation found itself in. The second half was that the prophet Joel was declaring that a mighty army would sweep in and destroy what was left of the nation. How do you come to the conclusion the path you are on might not be the right one? Difficulty can awaken us to look at our situation a little closer. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, says, "We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's a megaphone to arouse a deaf world." Have you ever experienced pain? Is this something that you're experiencing now? In Joel chapter 1, 13 and 14, the prophet calls the people to repentance and prayer. When we're breaking relationship with God and others, we need to become self-aware of how we're hurting others and change the direction and our intentions. This happens when we begin to embrace humility. In the first part of Joel chapter 2, the pronouncement against Judah is raining down on them. They're not going to get away with their wicked behavior. But there is a shift in Joel 2, verse 12 and 13. "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rent your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." Who of us has created distance in our relationship with God and others by our words, deeds, and actions? We all have. All of us are guilty as charged in how we've sinned against God. We deserve whatever punishment we have coming to us. We cannot fix or replace what we've destroyed and what we've broken. We need to be rescued from the outside of ourselves. And this is what God does for us, what we cannot do for ourselves. God calls the people to return to him so he can fully forgive them. He is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishing us. In Joel chapter 2, verse 17, "If the people are sincere and respond with their whole heart, then God promises to reverse the situation. In Joel 2:20, I'll remove the northern army far away from you. And verse 26, you shall eat plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people should never again be put to shame." Our God is a redeeming and rescuing God in all of our lives, no matter what we've experienced or chosen to do at this point. It is in this context of Judah coming home to God spiritually that some of the most famous verses in the book of Joel are quoted. Joel 2, 28, 29. "Then afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I'll pour out my spirit." And this very prophecy proclaimed by the prophet Joel comes to pass in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the 120 followers are waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them that is promised, both in Acts 1, 4 and 5, and Luke 24, 49. "And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And this is exactly what happens. Why is this important? Up to this point in history, God came upon kings, prophets, and priests with the Spirit. Often the Spirit came upon a particular person for a particular event throughout the Old Testament. But something new was now happening with the coming of Jesus and the inbreaking of God's kingdom to earth. Now the power of the Holy Spirit could and would come upon all people. Women, daughters, men, sons. Everyone and anyone could be filled with the Holy Spirit. I tease this Joel passage when it says, old men will see dreams. How do you know if you're old? You'll get God dreams as opposed to visions. There's every reason why God will speak to you, to each of us, through prophecy, visions, and dreams. Who are you? One of God's adopted children that he calls beloved. In 1988, there was a story in the Los Angeles Times entitled, A Mother's Search for Russell Love. It told of a woman in Houston named Beverly Elliott. She had not seen her son Russell for 4 years and not heard from him in 2 years. He was homeless somewhere in Los Angeles County. She had contacted the FBI and the LA police and they said, sorry, we can't help you. Longing for her son to come home, she ran a personal ad in the Times for 12 days. It read this, Russell Love from Houston, or anyone knowing where he lives, please call his mother collect 713-477-5968. Russell, your mother will never forget you. She loves you. A man named Ralph Campbell, who had spent 25 years living on the street, had once given an extra sandwich to a friend. He remembered that his friend had turned to another homeless man and said, Russ, do you want a sandwich? Campbell phoned a newspaper. He led the reporter to some shipping containers in a parking lot. There were some bedrolls there just where he thought Russ might be. The next morning, the reporter returned, saw the young man, blonde man, asleep, rolled up in a bright yellow blanket. When he woke up, the reporter asked, are you Russell Love? He said he was. He says, your mother wants you to call. There's got to be easier ways to get you to call your mom, right? So on Friday, he called her. They talked 3 more times over the next week, and then she sent him money to fly him home. Upon his return, they grabbed each other and hugged and hugged. Russell said, it feels great to be home. Coming home to God is a great way to come home. A quote from C.S. Lewis again. A person can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. It's interesting to recognize in this passage in Joel chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches, both of their messages have a very similar theme. Repent and get right in your hearts with God. To repent means to turn from what you are doing. There are two parts to experiencing this freedom. The first part is to recognize and acknowledge that we need change. And the second is to act on this decision. So there's a role that we can play when we feel separated from God and others. In this Joel passage, the people did live through the traumatic infestation from the grasshoppers. But the army from the north doesn't seem to arrive presently like it was predicted. What happens is the boy King Josiah is crowned at 8 years old. And the people of Judah humble themselves and experience a reformation by the grace of God. I'm going to suggest that sometimes we do not see the power of God in our lives and our churches because there are things that are blocking the move of God's Spirit in our lives. In Joel's day and the day of Acts, people created some space to allow God to speak into the interior of their lives and situations. Do we feel close or distant in our relationship with God presently? Are we aware of anything we're avoiding that God has been bringing to our attention? Things that we're involved in, blocking, or distracted with? We may be pursuing secondary things like money, position, and influence instead of what is essential in our lives. The most important thing in our lives is our relationship with Jesus and the transformation he is presently doing in us. We need to come home spiritually by reconnecting with God. Sometimes we're willingly embracing sinful behaviors, or we can be a disobedient like Jonah was in the Old Testament. If you sense there's some distance in your relationship with God, think back to the last time you felt close. Usually something disruptive has happened between these two time periods. Whatever it might be, bring it out in the open. Allow God to forgive, heal, and restore you. We need fresh water, a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. It is good to have God stories of past times where you've seen a move. But we need fresh ones this month, this week, even today. Mark 12, 24, 27. That Jesus referenced when Moses saw the burning bush and God said to Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Meaning he's the God in the present, not just the past. He's the God in the living, not for the dead. The Lord is doing things all over the place and wants us to partner with him. Rob Reimers, in his book, Soul Care, he says, if you want more of God in your life, you're going to have to risk more than you're comfortable with. Are you comfortable at where things are at in your life with God, or do you want more? Are you ready to risk more? Let's pray. Jesus, we fully recognize we need you in every part of our lives. There are things that we do, say, and think that create obstacles in our relationship with you. We want to be totally transparent before you and allow the freedom to reveal these blocks in our lives. Come and fill us to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want everything that you have for us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Almighty, years and days to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With the whole creation I sing praise to you, the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. The Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With the whole creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
You may be seated.
I have a couple announcements. Benediction, then you'll be dismissed. Benediction, one more song, be dismissed. Just a couple reminders. You want prayer today, someone will be in the back corner to pray with you. Next Sunday is our church picnic, and so we encourage you, you can bring your friends, we'll have lots of food. We have a sign-up sheet by the Welcome Center. If you just sign who you are and how many of you are coming, because it helps us deal with the whole food situation. As well today, our grads will be cutting the cake and serving us. Isn't that nice of them? I like this. And so after I give my benediction, and before we sing our last songs, our five grads will go to the foyer, and instructions from Moira, before you cut any cake, you're supposed to get a picture of the five of you with the cake, and then you can cut the cake, and then as people come out, you can serve them. As you go, go under the sign of the cross, knowing that we need power from on high as much as Jesus' disciples did. And so we say, come Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
May you please stand for our last song?
You have to clap.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. till I am so on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day till I am so on fire. Till I am so on fire. Lord, restore the joy I have wandered. Bring me back. In the darkness lead me through, until all I see is you. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. And let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire.